Welcome to the City of Refuge podcast, where our mission is to equip a diverse community of Christ followers to make him known.
How many of y'all can admit with a quick show of hands that you've made some blunders in your life? All right. How many of y'all have made some financial blunders in your life? Raise your hand if you made financial blunders. All right. How many of y'all made relational blunders in your life? Well, this is like 100% participation this morning, all right? How many of y'all would like to redeem those blunders? Anybody want to redeem those blunders and use them for good? All right, we're going to find out how to do that today. I just saw in the paper, I just saw on the internet that they are coming up with a new Titanic that's coming out in 2022, and it's supposed to set sail from, again, New York, think East Coast, back to London or to England. And this time around, they have said that they are going to provide enough lifeboats for every single passenger, right? That's wisdom right there. That's redemption, redeeming a blunder. Because on April 15th of 1912, you all know the story, the Titanic, the ship that even God couldn't sink, sank when it hit a massive iceberg. Now, you all probably heard the story that there were several ships ahead of it that were sending warning signals. And one of them was this ship right here, the Parisian. The Parisian, which was about 125 to 150 miles ahead. And on April 14th, the day before, it sent out warning signals to all the ships in the area saying, you know what, it's as clear as day and you can just see iceberg after iceberg after iceberg. And so Donald Sutherland, who's a radio operator of the Parisian, radioed again all the ships, including the Californian, which is about 50 miles behind them. And also, again, the Titanic, which was about another 50 to 75 miles behind them. And obviously, you know the story. The warnings that were given by the Parisian were not heeded by the Titanic. And so today we're going to look at this. The fact that all of us in here are on a journey, a faith journey, a walk with the Lord, and we're ahead of somebody, amen? You may not feel like you're ahead of somebody, but all of us in here are ahead of somebody, and it's up to us to share our wisdom and our knowledge as an act of stewardship with those behind us, amen? So if you have your Bibles, look at Proverbs chapter 2, Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to, like last week and the week before, be bouncing around throughout the Bible, Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Verse 6. Are y'all there? Proverbs 2:6. And I mentioned this before. Anytime you see all caps, Lord, that's... we don't really know how to pronounce it. We pronounce it Jehovah or Yahweh. For the Lord or Yahweh gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Now look at verse 7. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity. So here's a question. By looking at Proverbs chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, who is a source of wisdom and knowledge? It's not a trick question, y'all. It's right there in the text. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Point number one is this: God is the source of the pearls of wisdom and knowledge. God is the source. God is the source of the pearls of wisdom and knowledge. In verses 6 and 7, there are four Hebrew words which incorporate and encompass various kind of facets of knowledge and wisdom. The first one is chokmah, there in verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom, which means wisdom, technical skill, or even experience. The word from his mouth come knowledge. The word knowledge, da'at, which means knowledge. The next word, understanding, is tabuna, which means understanding or skill. And then finally, in verse 7, it says, he stores up sound wisdom. That word, sound wisdom, tsuya, means wisdom, prudence, or a good result. And so all of these different aspects of knowledge and wisdom are from God. Now, let me give you a very simple definition of wisdom. You can write this down. Application that comes from revelation. That's all it is. Application that comes from God's revelation. When you take what God has revealed and apply it into your life, that is wisdom. Application that comes from revelation. Look at Colossians 2 for the New Testament scholars in here. Colossians 2 is going to say the exact same thing. Colossians 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, Colossians 2:2, says this, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attained to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself. Verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So again, God is the source of the pearls of wisdom and knowledge. And here he calls it the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And you'll find out why I call it the pearls here in a little bit. I went to the Q Commons conference on Thursday, sponsored by Q Ideas. And Laura Husband, who's a member of our church, she asked me if I knew a videographer. They wanted to do a video of the event itself. They had three national speakers, simulcast through satellite, and three live speakers, local leaders from the greater Houston area. And they wanted a videographer. And the only videographer I know really well is actually in San Antonio. He was one of our elders at our church when I pastored there. And this is who he's a videographer for. And this is a good reminder. Anytime you go to Starbucks and you see those baked goods, those scones and other baked goods that they have there, they're muffins, he actually is a videographer media guy for the company that actually makes all the baked goods for Starbucks. So there's this company in San Antonio, and there's this massive bakery, and they make scones and muffins and all these things, and he's the media, internet, IT videographer guy for there. So he does all their production stuff as they roll out new products for Starbucks. And so he told me this. He said, Icky, whenever you go to a Starbucks and you're there and you see the muffin or the cakes and all that stuff, don't think for a minute that it was freshly baked at that store. It's been shipped hundreds of miles, if not thousands of miles, from this massive bakery in San Antonio. That is the true source. Are y'all with me? And so all I'm trying to say is God is the source of all wisdom and understanding and knowledge. He's the source of those pearls, all right? So God is the source. Now, what's the application for us? Turn to Titus. Since you're in Colossians, turn to Titus. So turn over to the right, the verse we read together. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Let me give you a little context of Titus. It's one of the pastoral epistles. Titus is also another spiritual son of the Apostle Paul. Timothy and Titus are his two sons. Titus is a pastor, and many believe later on the bishop of Crete, which is an island in the Mediterranean Sea. And the problem of the church at Crete is this. It's a problem that many of us wrestle with and suffer from as well. Is what they believe about God and theology, what they believe about God is not translating to their lifestyle. They know more than they're doing. Amen? Are y'all with me? That was a very weak amen. Very weak. How many of y'all believe that God is in control? Raise if you believe that God is in control. God is in control. Which means if you believe that God is in control, really, you and I should never worry. Amen? How many on here worry, get anxious, get worried, right? That's a separation between knowing that God is in control. Nothing slips through his fingers, no matter how bad life may get, no matter what bad news we see on the news, that nothing slips through God's fingers. And yet, fear, worry, anxiety, right? Are y'all with me? Is it just me that wrestles with that, right? How many of y'all believe this, that God loves you? How many of y'all believe that God loves you? Just know that I believe that God loves me. But isn't it true that in life, very often, we feel like God doesn't love us? Amen? And that causes us maybe to do some unloving things towards other people? Amen? Obviously, again, I'm just the only bad guy in the room, all right? So in Crete, this is what's going on. The exact same thing is they have a belief system. They have theology and Bible, but it's not showing up in their lifestyle. So he says this in verse 1, Titus 2, 1. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. He's saying, you believe these things doctrinally. What does he say, verse 2? Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Notice here he says nothing about doctrine or theology or teaching. He says it should be seen in your attitude and your actions. Are you all with me? And then he says this, even where he says sound in faith, that sound in faith is not talking about make sure you have the right Bible study and theology and orthodoxy. Sound in faith means this, keep on keeping on. Keep trusting God. Stay faithful is what he's saying. So older men, and let me just say this. I don't want to cause any problems in this church. I know some of us, especially me, I'm 47 years old, and I still want to feel like I'm a young man and all that. How do we differentiate older men and younger men, older women and younger men? In biblical days, 40 and over made you an older man, all right? Just so we don't have any fights in the room. And 40 and under, 39 and under, made you a younger man or younger woman. Y'all with me? So he says to the men who are 40 and over, to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith and love and perseverance. Verse 3, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, not enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the younger men to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. So he says to the women again, he says, you have sound doctrine as well. It should be seen in your lifestyle. But then he says this in verse 3, teaching what is good. Ah, he said teaching. But notice the content of the teaching is not theology and doctrine per se. It is that they may encourage, verse 4, the young men to love their husbands, love their children, and be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. So again, it's practical instruction. Look at verse 6. Likewise, and I believe the likewise is there, tying it back to verse 2. Urge the young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourselves to be an example of good deeds with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. So he's saying again, he says there's a disconnection from what you believe to how you behave. And so he says to the older men and to the older women, teach the younger men, teach the young women theology and doctrine, but connect it to behavior and attitude. Are you all with me? So here's point number 2. We are to be good stewards of the pearls of wisdom and knowledge that God gives us by living them and giving them away. By living them and giving them away. Look at Deuteronomy. So find Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6, very well-known passage, Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. So we've talked about the stewardship of money, we've talked about stewardship of time, but even the knowledge and wisdom that God gives us, since he's the source, we're to live them and give them away. Look at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, the Shema. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. And then he says this in verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. Let me give you a modern translation. When you take your kids to school, when you take your kids to softball practice, when you come home from a softball game, every opportunity you have, he says, to teach your children. He says in verse 8, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And look at verse 20. Deuteronomy 6:20. He says this, when your son asks you in the time to come, saying, what do the testimony and statutes and the judgments mean which the Lord our God commanded you? Verse 21, then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us from Egypt with a mighty hand. Moreover, the Lord showed us showed great and distressing signs and wonders before our eyes against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. He brought us out from there in order to bring us in to give us the land which he had sworn to our fathers. So the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes to fear the Lord our God for our good always and for our survival as it is today. Verse 25, it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all this commandment before the Lord our God, just as he commanded us. So here in Deuteronomy, we see this pattern for parenting that as we establish memorials, and I'm not talking about like idols or anything like that, but things that you and I use to remember God's faithfulness, he says, look for those opportunities to pass it on to the next generation. Y'all with me? Now here's the thing, Y'all have all seen the stats between baby boomers to Gen X to Gen Y to Gen Z. About 80%, 4 out of 5 baby boomers identify with the Christian faith. Did y'all know that? 4 out of 5, 80% identify with mainline Protestantism, Roman Catholicism, or evangelical Christianity. But as you see, from generation to generation to generation, those numbers drop dramatically. Y'all with me? So it seems to be this, that we are not doing a good job passing along and teaching the next generation. Are y'all with me? And that's why some people have asked me this. Why are y'all calling it the next gen director, next gen pastor? Because we want to focus not just on you all. You all are important, but really on the next generation of Christians and people of faith. Are y'all with me? And that's why we're calling it the next gen director. Cradle to college, really equipping them to make Jesus Christ known. Paul says it this way, 2 Timothy 2:2. Don't need to turn there. 2 Timothy 2:2. He said, the things that you've seen and heard in this great cloud of witnesses, he says, now pass on to faithful men who will be able to teach others. And the picture there, like I mentioned in Presbytery, is like a race, like a relay race, the 4x4 or the 4x1, that what you have doesn't end with you, but that you pass it on until Jesus Christ comes back. You've got to pass it on. Matthew 7:6 is a very interesting picture. Jesus says this, and he's talking about the gospel. And right before that, he says, judge not lest you be judged. And he's not saying don't judge at all, but he says exercise critical self-reflective judgment. And in verse 6, he says this, do not cast your pearls before swine. Have y'all heard that before? Do not cast your pearls before swine. And this is a very interesting picture. Can you imagine like you buying a brand new like set of pearls for your wife, right? She's like, I hate these. And she throws them in the pig trough, right? Nobody, your wife's never done that before? My wife hadn't done that either. But anyway, he's saying this, do not cast what is valuable, which he's talking about in the context of the gospel. Don't go to somebody and share the good news with them and they mock you and scoff at you. You want to see them come to Jesus? Of course you do. But don't keep going back over and over and over and over again if they keep mocking you and slandering you. He says, that is casting your pearls before swine. So here's the application from that, is that as you and I look back on people who are not as far along on the spiritual journey as we are, if you share your wisdom and knowledge with them, these pearls, and they do not put it into practice, he says, stop. Are y'all with me? Because it's a waste of your time and it's a waste of their time. Are y'all with me? How many of y'all have ever done that before, that you have had somebody you mentor or disciple, and maybe even at work, and you say, if I were you, when you meet with that doctor, don't be long-winded, right? You said that to that person, and they go meet with that doctor, and they go on for on and on and on, like Icky Soma sermon, on and on and on, right? And you're like, look, I told you, when you meet with that doctor, don't be long-winded. Why aren't you listening to me? I'm trying to help you. Are y'all with me? So he says, don't cast your pearls before swine. I'm going to ask for prayer this Wednesday. I'm going to Houston Baptist University, HBU, and I'm speaking in their chapel. And the chaplain there has asked me to speak specifically about my experience with panic disorder and anxiety disorder, because I'll be speaking to future Christian leaders and servants. And he says, I want you to just share your experience, number one, so that they won't fall into the same mistakes and like patterns of lifestyle, number one. But number two is this. How many of y'all still believe that in the Christian church, mental illness is stigmatized, right? Y'all with me? And so he said, I want you to come and share about your own struggles with mental illness so that we have more opportunities to talk about it inside the body of Christ. So he says, I want you to share your wisdom and knowledge so that these future pastors and leaders and missionaries will what? Practice it as well. Are y'all with me? So I'm asking for your prayers for that. Yesterday, right in this room, was a women's brunch, and the theme was mentoring. And again, older women took younger women, and they're walking with them, hoping that they will not make the same mistakes they made, but also sharing the good side as well, saying, the things I've done with the Lord's help and His grace, I want you to do as well. Last verse, Proverbs 19:20. So that's a way that you can redeem your blunders, your financial blunders, your relational blunders, is to share your wisdom and knowledge, to be good stewards, to share that, to pass it on to somebody, to take biblical teaching and share that as well. Let me just say this too. I'm excited about our focus on equipping. We've got great classes on Sundays now. We've got community groups that our leaders are now being equipped. But a lot of discipling and mentoring has to be not programmatic like programs at the church, but really has to be organic. And what do I mean by that? That is where someone who's a younger believer, a young man, young woman, goes to an older believer that they look up to and admire and respect and say, hey, will you disciple me? Will you mentor me? All right, y'all with me? And if that person says, no, I've got a lot going on, that you will keep going, pressing and praying, trying to find somebody. All of us need someone like that, right? Paul had Silas, and then he had Barnabas as kind of a co-laborer, and then he had Timothy and Titus below him. But all of us need somebody that can pour into us. And again, for those of us who are older women and men in here, 40 and above, we've been walking with the Lord, for you all to find somebody younger than you and to walk with them and share your wisdom and knowledge. I'm excited. Not saying I don't love my kids. I love my kids, but we're about to be empty nesters, y'all. Man, this is like a new chapter in life. And so one of the things Tara and I are looking forward to is, it used to be like I would go speak at a men's conference, or I would go here, Tara would go speak at this camp, and we'd do things separately, but we're looking forward to doing more and more things together. And so on Thursday night, Tara and I met with Ryan and Sophia, who are right here. They're getting married in a few weeks. And so we gave them like all these challenges and wisdom as a married couple who've been married for 21 years. This afternoon, after the second service, we're going out with another couple who are currently dating and just kind of giving them relationship advice as well. So we're looking forward to doing that, but all these things were organic. They weren't like, we don't have a premarital program for couples getting married and all that. We just said, hey, let's grab dinner and let's, you know, have time that we can share a little bit. You can ask us questions. Plug for the men's conference as well, men's retreat this Saturday. Sign up online or on the back table there. Richard Bach, married 50 years. He's one of my spiritual fathers. He can answer questions about raising teenagers and dating and I don't know if she's the right one, and working on your marriage, and walking with the Lord, investing spiritually in your kids, all those things he's prepared to share with y'all. So if you're a man here today, whether you're single, married, long-time married, invite you to sign up for that. All right, Proverbs 19:20, enough of the soundbite. Proverbs 19:20, listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. Listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. So here's point three. If you receive the pearls of wisdom and knowledge, learn them and live them. Learn them and live them. So if you're on the receiving end from someone wiser than you who is advanced, just like the Parisian radioed in and said, hey, there's icebergs ahead, be careful. When God gives you revelation and you put it into practical application, share that by doing it, learning it and living it. I almost had a major car fiasco yesterday or recently. So my car is older. It's now 11 years old. And there's something wrong with it. It's called the PCV valve, the pressure control valve. And so my oil levels get really low. They get really low. So I need to change that $10 part. Plan on having Justin come do it for me because I see him nodding his head. So my oil levels get low, and so I was taking Grace yesterday to run some errands, and I said, hey, before we go, let me check my oil levels, because the last time I got my oil change at the regular service intervals, the service mechanic said this to me. He says, hey, buddy, I need to show you something. I said, what is it? He showed me the form. He said, you had your car oil change here like 4,000 miles ago, 5,000 miles ago. When we checked the oil stick, the dipstick, he said there was no oil in the car, just a very little scant amount. So he said, next time, what you want to do is keep checking your oil to make sure your oil levels are steady, Because if not, have you ever had like your engine freeze up on you? Your engine will freeze up on you. That's thousands and thousands of dollars of repair. So before I went out with Grace, because it's about 4,000, 5,000 miles now, I pulled the dipstick and I checked and there was no oil. So what I did was I immediately bought some oil and then I looked at the PCV valve. I'm going to get that changed because my car now is getting older. And here's the thing. If I did not apply what that mechanic told me, I could have been stuck on the side of the road, right? And I probably would have called somebody here and said, hey, come pick me up, right? Because I did not heed what that mechanic told me. So this is the thing. If you receive the pearls of knowledge and wisdom from somebody else, put them into practice. Learn them and live them. Here's a big idea for today. Big idea for today. God's pearls of wisdom and knowledge, live them and give them. You want to be a good steward of what God has given to you, the knowledge and wisdom that comes from Him, the revelation that's put into practical application, live them. Put them into practice. That's a message of Titus 2. Don't just know them, but live them by God's grace and through His Spirit. Live them, but also give them to somebody who is a little bit behind you in this journey of faith. Here's some small group questions. Number one, who are you mentoring and discipling? How are you giving away God's wisdom and knowledge? Who are you mentoring and discipling? How are you giving away God's wisdom and knowledge? Next Sunday after, we're going to talk about natural gifts and spiritual gifts, and we are going to give you all a list of the ministry opportunities here at City of Refuge. So if you say, you know what, I'm really not involved in anything, I want to be involved with youth or maybe mentoring some young adults, we're going to give you those opportunities. Number two, what are the challenges of mentoring and discipling? What are the challenges of mentoring and discipling? Perhaps it's busyness. What are the joys of mentoring and discipling? And number three, how do you know when you're casting your pearls before swine? What are some indicators? How do you know when you're casting your pearls before swine? What are some of the indicators? And then lastly, number four, as we focus on equipping, how can City of Refuge better equip you to mentor and disciple? Email Brandon Freeman, a pastor of equipping, with your suggestions at bfreeman@cityrefuge.org. I think the number one reason why most of us do not disciple or mentor and equip people, you know why that is? Because we feel like we don't know how to do it. Amen? So we want to equip you to do that, to alleviate some of that anxiety and fear. All right, last slide, please. Now this right here, as you can see, this partially sunk ship is the very same ship we looked at the beginning. This is actually the Parisian. And here's the story behind the Parisian. The reason why the Parisian made it a point to warn other ships in the North Atlantic about all the icebergs is because 8 years previous, the Parisian was leaving dock and hit another ship and sank, all right? And so the captain, as it hit this other ship, leaving the dock, it sank, and 200 passengers jumped in the lifeboats and the crew jumped overboard. And so the reason why it was so focused on sharing its wisdom and experience with others is because it too, just 8 years previous, had sunk. And this is what they did. They raised the Parisian, they dry docked it, they brought in a dock, and this is a picture here, and they began to repair the Parisian until it was fully operational again. 8 years later, on April 14th, again, it's sailing in the North Atlantic, and it sends out a warning radio signal to all the ships in the area saying, danger, danger, be careful. And here's the thing, like I mentioned to you before, I asked you to raise your hand, how many of you made a blunder financially, relationally, spiritually, is that all of us in here have been sunk at one time or another, amen? And I want to say all of us have, because all of us were born spiritually dead at the depths and the bottoms, but you know what? One day, Jesus Christ resurrected us when we put our faith in Him. And now that we're resurrected and raised with Him, Ephesians chapter 2, and seated in heavenly places, it's up to us to share the wisdom and knowledge that God gives us with people who we can disciple and mentor. Amen? Let's pray. God, we're so grateful that You have raised us from the dead with Jesus Christ, that we were once sunk and in a pit. And because of redemption, new life in Jesus Christ, being saved, being fully forgiven, we've been raised. And God, You've raised us in this spiritual journey, this walk with You, not just to enjoy salvation for ourselves and to walk in wisdom, but God, to be a good steward of the wisdom and knowledge that you give us through good experiences, bad experiences, through Bible study, through application, through the hard knocks of life, to share with others who are on the same spiritual journey, but perhaps a few steps behind us, God. God, I pray even now as you prepare my heart to speak and share at Houston Baptist University with future Christian leaders and pastors and servants, that they use my experience and using the wisdom and experience that you've given me, the knowledge to impart and to share with others and to even warn others, God, and to really bring to the forefront the presence of mental illness in the church and to reach out with compassion and grace and mercy to serve and to act as conduits and agents of healing, God. So God, I pray for every person who has named the name of Jesus, put their faith in Christ, who's under the age of 40, that they would find an older mentor, an older man, older woman to disciple and mentor them. God, I pray for those who are over the age of 40. Place on our hearts, God, someone that we can reach out to. Maybe it's someone we don't even know their name. We just see them on Sundays sitting across from us or sitting in front of us, God. You'd place on our hearts those that you've called us to steward the knowledge and the wisdom you've given us. And we ask it for Christ's namesake and for your glory. All God's people said, amen.